Blog Talk Radio.
Taking from the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. I'm your brother Ariel once again here at Ibrit Culture by the way of Kol Elohim, bringing you another segment into the art of war. The art of war, what we have been going through for these last 5 weeks. And we actually are in the fifth installment right now in this journey we have been going through this book of the art of war and through the scriptures about hopefully learning about war tactics, strategies, and everything that goes along with war. Everything that goes along with. And isn't Abba timely? Isn't Abba the grand architect? The greatest at it, right? He's the best at timing things. He's the best at it. So before I get in and just start talking, I'm going to open up with a prayer and a benediction, and then we can get into the lesson. We can talk, and we can get into the lesson, and we can learn together. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Papa Yah, once again, for bringing us to the door of the Shabbat, opening the door, the Shabbat door, Father, and allowing us to come in and sup with you, Father. Thank you, Father, for preparing such a day for us, Father, for giving us a rest for our minds, for our souls, Father. Thank you, Father. Abba Yah, first on the plate, I would like to also thank you for Ema, for bringing her through, Father, for continuing to heal her, Father. And Abba Yah, we continue to pray that you continue to bring her all the way home, Abba Yah, to bring her home so she can rest in her own bed, Father. Abba Yah, continue to heal her, Father. Continue to give the wisdom to the doctors and nurses that's around her, Father. Continue to watch over her household, Father, while she's in the hospital, Father. Father, I ask and pray for all Israel, Father, from the Yaladi, the children, Father, to the Emas, Father, to the Akotis, Father, to the Ox, the brothers, to the Zakin, the elders, Father, to the Morays, Abba Yah, to the Morays, Father. Last but not least, Father, the Morays, Father, because they have been tasked to carry your word out into this word, Father, along with all Israel, Father, but more so them, Father, who has been anointed to do this thing for you, Father. Abba Yah, I ask and pray that your shield and your buckler be around them, Father, and that they walk in the power of Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, that any foe come their way, Father, that they know that they have the power within them, Father, to defeat anything that come their way, Father. Father, and keep that old adversary back, Father, and even if he get through, Abba Yah, remember, we have the power within Yahushua, and that one, we want to have that in the forefront of our minds. Abba Yah, I ask all these things in your holy and precious Son name, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, pleasure in us, love and favor, gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me set that down right there. Shalom once again. Toda, Aki. Hallelujah. Abba Yah knows what you need even before you ask. Hallelujah. Toda. Well, family, we missed last week, but we didn't miss a meal because Abba Yah had set a wonderful table through his Morays and gave us a wonderful meal, a wonderful, I would say, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We had a wonderful breakfast, lunch, and dinner, excuse me. And I had to sit down. I will recognize that. I had to sit down because he had something to say through the oath of Yahweh, his brother Shabbat. And if we all noticed, if we did listen, was able to listen to all three of the lessons, Brother Shabbat, Brother Harbel, Brother Deuel, they all spoke mostly about the same thing. And they didn't, and their lessons fit together like a well-knitted sweater. It's not like they all got together and said, yo, you teach this, I'm going to teach that, you bring this out, I'm going to bring that. No, it don't work like that here. There's no trickery here. All we rely on is the spirit of Yahweh. But Yahweh already knew what I had to teach. It was already written down. Matter of fact, we did some tweaking to it the day when I finally got down. But it was already ready. So I understand I had to sit down because Abijah wanted to drive home a point to all of us, an individual point to each and every believer, that we all take a look within ourselves. We all take a look within ourselves and get right. And get right, period. Just get right. We know the flaws. We know the dark spots. We know where we fail in that. Continue to get right. Continue to pray. Continue to fast. Continue to walk towards that light. Continue to allow Abiyah to purge us, that gook, so he can see himself shining, right? So that's the goal at the end of the day. We want to be mirror images of Yahushua HaMashiach, right? We want to walk around people and people see us something different about us. We're not of this world. We want that to be known. Out of any character or anything that we think we have, we want the character of Yahushua to be known within us. That is the character. Right? That is the integrity that we shall all have. The integrity of Yahushua, the character of Yahushua. You know? And if you want to say it this way, you have the character of Yahushua and the integrity of the Torah, but it's all one and the same, right? All one and the same. All one and the same. That's what we all should be displaying each and every day. As we walk in this journey, as we walk in this journey, and as we are being called to be part of this war, we are being called to be part of this war. And crazy, there's a war right now. There's a war that the whole world is talking about. You know, and myself, I'm sitting thinking that this not like when we went into the Gulf War, when we went into, for me, because I wasn't around when Vietnam. I was probably just born in 70, I believe. Vietnam was in 69, 68. And I wasn't around then in all the other wars. But I was around a little bit in the Gulf War when we went over there into Afghanistan. We first went over there. This one feels different. This one don't feel like Americans are on edge. Today, this war compared to the one that we went in over there, and matter of fact, we're not even in this war. We didn't heard of wars all over the world. We're not in this war yet, but it feels different, don't it? It's something that's sticking out and not feeling right within your spirit about this war right here. Out of all other wars, it just feels a little bit eerie to you because there's so much more going on than out of all the other wars we have heard. The question is why? Why? Well, there is a major difference happening today than what took place in yesterday. A major difference. A difference in a feeling in your ruach, in that spirit that's within you. If you ask yourself, there's a difference. There's something feeling mighty strange about this one right here. An unease for some, an unease for some, and an anticipation for others, and a sitting wait for some also. Some are just sitting and waiting to see what unfolds because we've been heard about some things throughout the years. We've been reading, we've been waiting, we've been wanting, not actually wanting to see it, but wanting to see it, right? Wanting to see it. Because we know, we believe in the word. We know it's going to unfold. So there's a wait and see game for some of us. See, is this it? Will the whole world be pulled into this? Because not just America on edge. It feels like the whole world has been on edge. The mental stability of people are going over. I read something the other day or heard something the other day about this. There are more people checking in with, let me see, I wouldn't say psychosocial, with therapists. There are more people checking into therapy for instability in their mental than any other time on the face of the planet. Maybe because we just came out of we still in the pandemic. It ain't a pandemic. I call it the pandemic. Everything was planned. But guess who didn't take by surprise? Abba Yah knew about all this. He's been telling us these things, if we've been listening to the lessons, for years. He's been telling us through the mores, through the rabbis, for years what's taking place, what we will call today current events. He have been preparing us. Me and my brother got a chance to talk the other day, and it was like we was both to a point like, I don't want to keep talking about it. I don't want to keep talking about it, but it's there. It's in our face. We have to keep talking about it. We have to keep talking about preparing. We have to keep talking about getting your faith right. Because the more in every day, the more stuff come about. We have to keep talking about it. We can't get worried or tired or complacent or any other thing that comes along with those words. Now God, because it's constantly being bombarded in our faith, in our spirit, every day. So we have to keep talking about it. And Abba gave us a thought like, yes, we keep talking about it because that's his word. But for those, in the sense of we don't want to keep talking about it as we panicking, you know, because some would come with their mind and say, oh, y'all panicking. That's why y'all keep talking about it. Y'all panicking. No. Those who without faith going to panic. Those who with faith is going to do what the scriptures say do. Consider the ant. Slugger. He tells us these things. He gives us the story of Joseph. Gives us the book of Matthew, in chapter 24. He gives us these warnings through and through and through, over and over and over again. Just brought out in different ways. That's all. So no, it's not a panic thing. It's a faith thing. Because we believe what the word of Yahweh says. It's a faith thing. And when doo-doo hit the fan, those who panic is those who did not, first of all, did not do, that call themselves believers, did not do what was asked of them. And the other ones, who panicked, who just didn't have faith in the Most High. Who just didn't have faith in the Most High. And we could see a test of that with this pandemic. You better get that vaccine for it to work. All these believers throughout the world, they shine. I mean, you got believers on my job through and through, walk up and down the hallways talking about JC. That is, they took that shot. They didn't buck up against the system, but they said they say they have faith, they believe in the Most High. Something that wasn't even still in that area as far as vaccine, it should be at least a 7-year test. They did something within 6-7 months, threw it out there. People was afraid because they pumped up the numbers in their eyesight. And when they broke the numbers down, when you got people who really have the numbers and really break the numbers, it's less than 1% of the people. Again, media was bombarding these people over and over again with false narratives. The difference with us is we can feel it in our spirit and we go in the word and that's the word and see where the word is current with current events. Because that's our, the word is our barometer. The word is our tool, so to speak, right? It's our foundation. If it ain't lining up with the word, hey, we ain't got to worry about it too much. Worry about it too much. If it ain't lining up against the word. Because that's our foundation. But let's get into this today. And we in the Art of War, Chapter 5. We're going to do like we did last time. We're going to read the book first. But I'm going to open up with the opening scripture. And then I'm going to get into the Art of War because I thought I wasn't going to get into it tonight. I thought we were going to go on another route. But I'll be honest, no, we're going to go this route. And for this, I will be reading in the WEBA, but when we come out of the book, I will be reading in the King James in the opening scripture. And I will not give the title of the lesson until we come out of the book, until we come out of the book. And these are our last two. And it's funny, right? Now, Abiyah, he shows you a little glimpse of things. He even gives us breadcrumbs that we talked about. He shows you things in his word. And in this one, Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my El, and I will praise him. My Father's mighty one, and I will exalt him. Yah is a man of war. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Amen. And at the end of this, 15:3, we will see that Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is a man. Just going through the lesson, and he said, the route that he's taking me, right? At the end of this, we're going to see Yahweh is a man of war. And that's literally, Yahweh is a man of war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's next week's lesson. I got bits and pieces of it, and we'll get there. Abba will. We will get there. Amen. Abba will. So we'll be reading in The Art of War. This is book 6, and this is called Fortitude and Frailty. Fortitude and, because remember what we've been talking about. We're talking about the art of war, being very skillful at what you do, right? Being a what we will call a master at what you do. You know, and just for these last three in consideration, and start with 4 last week, but the whole thing, right? Last week was about ourselves. Not week before last, matter of fact. Week before last was about ourselves. And last week, too, if we go back and listen to the lesson, because there's only one. Out of all three of those, there was one lesson. They all combined to make one lesson. It was about ourselves. This one going to be about Hillel. So and the last one was going to be about we already talked about. And put these three together. put yourself, Hillel, and remember, we are talking about the art war. What is at Hillel's disposal? Same thing for Abba Yah. The whole world. Both are there to expose. Remember, we are talking about the art of war. First of all, we're talking about ourselves, because that was the thing last week before last, to look at yourself, to tell your own story. Go within years of your life, what walk through it, see how Abba Yah have been guiding you. That you are today. Now we're going to talk about Hillel. But when we read it in this book, as we've been talking about from the beginning, remember to listen for Abba, Yahweh, and to listen to Hillel. Both tactics, both strategies. And then we'll get into a lesson, to some scriptures after this session. The pressure of being a great leader when they descend unto the shoulders of the mighty leader are not understood by lesser men. He is misunderstood, and until his authority is absolute and heaven has smiled on him, he may be considered mad. It is through his belief in himself without the support of others to lean on that he finally does attain greatness. Nothing is able to resist him, and everything rushes to do his bidding. Because of his belief and his knowledge, he continues on in his quest and does not stop. That is also why heaven must eventually give away. Heaven provides for all of the following when the leader has properly considered his, when the leader is prepared for battle. He is first into the arena of combat and does not shrink because of fear or doubt. His fortitude is fixed, and his fighting will be done with ease if he understands the way to achieve his goal. If he arrives late and is insecure in his position, it is because he did not plan properly and can easily be beaten. Wise leaders bring the enemy to them and do not permit the enemy to suck them into false security. I'm going to read that one again. Wise leaders bring the enemy to them and do not permit the enemy to suck them into false security. He does not permit the alleged power of his enemy to influence him and will always issue the final order, good, bad, or indifferent. This astute leader brings the enemy to him by offering something of perceived value. Once the enemy is drawn in, it is simple to execute full authority in the destruction of the attack state. If he makes the enemy look foolish, the people of that state will reconsider their loyalty as well. I'm going to try to just read. Oh, my goodness. The simplest way to humble, humiliate, and debase your enemy is to cut him off from his supply. If he is mighty and still come forward, his avenue of escape will be that much more difficult to attain when he cannot rest and supply his troops. If you have planned your attacks with intelligence, it will be so. The wise leader makes advance advances into enemy territory and does so with his when he is certain that there will be no resistance to his move. He does not seek to tire his own troops. Deception and substitute are essential ingredients to a successful campaign. He appears where the enemy does not expect him. He offers things that are of no value to him, regardless of appearance, even if it includes sacrificing men. He defends what he holds by not permitting the enemy to enter into his camp. He protects his line of supplies by maintaining direct contact with his troops. Enemies should attack the leader's supply line, that the enemy would find himself cut off and surrounded by a force that he did not expect. The leader of a constant skill never leaves traces of where he has been. He is indistinguishable among the many. His plans are well thought out, but are unformidable to the enemy. He appears where he is not and disappears into the void without a trace and prepares for his next attack. Okay. He advances, penetrating deeply into the soft spot in the enemy's armor. When he retreats, he does so with such speed as to tire the enemy's troops by forcing them into disadvantageous positions of chaotic chasing, leaving behind a force that can still attack the enemy's supplies. He attacks during retreat, and employs ultimate deception. When the leader does not wish to enter into battle, he suggests a ground where the enemy cannot follow with ease. He never permits the enemy to know where he attacks will come from and sacrifices those things that will protect the region of deception when necessary. When defending a position of weakness, he comes from the side or from behind and scourges the enemy even if it appears that he is coming straight on. When the enemy must inevitably leave some of them undermanned and weak unless he is exceptionally powerful, in which case the alert leader will recognize it and consider additional planning prior to combat. And we see that going on, excuse me, family, right now with Russia and NATO. Just listen, fam, just listen. Undermanned and weak position should be swiftly attacked and overrun. The leader should keep a small contingent that afterwards to maintain control and forewarn him in case of renewed buildup. The enemy must be attacked in such manner as to force uneven dispersion of his troops. In that way, the enemy can be divided and conquered with ease. When the enemy is confused by the initial attack, he will be weak and the dispersion of his troops was forced by the leader. Correct action. If the enemy prepares for an attack to his front, his rear will be weak. If he prepares his mountain troops, then his valley troops will be weak. Perceiving this, the leader considers the strategy being used by the enemy and understands the importance of resolve in the first strike. A large force cannot necessarily overpower a smaller force. There are times when a few can do battle with many and be virtuous. It is always while to prepare defenses against an overpowering force. An overpowering force may not be able to maintain its organization and speed because of problems with the mobilization and communication. All things must be weighed and all things must be seen in their own light. If the small force is adequately organized, it can wreak havoc upon the slowness of the larger army. These are called hit-and-run tactics. When used efficiently, these methods are used to disperse the main force of the larger army. In matters of defensive strategy, the smaller army must be sure to select the area of combat for the confrontation. Otherwise, the larger army will simply walk right over them. But, by constantly harassing the larger force, a leader can determine where its strength and vulnerability lie. It is easier for a small group to disrupt a large group when it is done from the inside. I'm going to read that again. It is easier for a small group to disrupt a large group when it is done from the inside. Amen. Isn't that what the rabbi wrote about Israel, what Israel is supposed to be? A large group, by its very nature, must permit observers to see its strategy, something that eventually becomes a weakness. A clever leader never repeats his successful action in the same manner. Variations in the universe are infinite and are the methods to be used in any action. In time, a repeated strategy will be learned by the opposition and they will be able to prepare defense against it. If new methods of attack do not work after a second attempt, they must be reevaluated. The leader must have an alternative method at the ready. Wise leaders always diversify their attacks when necessary. An army must always remain fluid if it is to flow in the direction of heaven's way. Without this ability, it becomes less resilient and can be trapped by its own attempts at deception. If you go back and you go into the Maccabees, Yahweh used that exact tactic. That exact tactic. That right there. They've been reading. Somebody's been reading the scriptures for real. This ain't no Sun Tzu. This is the scriptures. That's all I'm going to say about it. Somebody's been reading the scriptures. Well, it's not bad. Change should also be considered when it is not required and kept in the event of contingencies. Failure to see new ways to do things cause sloppiness in thinking and overconfidence in physical bearing. Avoid this. In all things, there is change. In the seasons, in the days, in the shapes of the moon, and in the fortunes of men. Gain victory with courage and protect your empire with changes in attitudes, and constantly study to further develop your own desires. The virtuous leader recognizes this truth and acts on it. Amen. What did you say? Constantly studying. Right? What does the scripture say? Study to show thyself approved. Right? Study to show. Somebody been reading scripture. That's all I'm going to say. I hope y'all was hearing the scripture as we was reading, as well as hearing Abba Yah tactics and Hillel tactics. Because they both in there. Both are in there. And one thing we have always said, especially here at Beth Yahweh, that Hillel know nothing. All his knowledge comes from Abba Yah. So all he's doing is recycling his knowledge over and over again. And we heard that if we was listening. We heard that. Let's get into we gonna be long tonight, family. We gonna be long. We got a few scriptures we're gonna read about Hillel. And the name of this is Hillel declares war. Hillel declares war. Satan declares war. Same thing with that they say Putin did with Ukraine. He declared war on Ukraine. Hillel and war on Abba Yah. That's why everything is looked at in a war sense, in the sense of war. Why Abba Yah talks about he is Yahweh Zevaot, Yahweh of armies. Hillel declared war on him. And we will just read where he declared war. And we're going to see Abba's answer to Hillel's declaring war on him. We've been seeing it these last five segments we've been going through. So let's go to Yeshayahu. That is Isaiah 14, starting at 12. We're going to read from 12 to 14 and we're going to hear some things. Some may have heard it already, but someone might be on the line and have not heard it. But we're going to read it. How have you fallen from heaven, shining one? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I put the reading in the King James Version. I was still in that version. I'm going to the King James Version. Give me a minute. That's Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And you know, if you look that word up, Lucifer, it will say Hillel. That is the devil, who you call the devil, who people call Satan, the adversary, Lucifer. That is his name, Hillel. That's the name the Father gave him. That is the name that he is known by. I mean, he's known by many names. But we here at Bet Yahweh, we won't call him by the name Abba Yah. But we will give him many names because he don't mind the many names. Total opposite of what Abba Yah is. Abba say, I need one name, and I have one name, and I want a whole bunch of names. But Hillel has a whole bunch of names. But I just wanted to go there to somebody who may be listening, may not know who is Hillel. But Lucifer is not his name. Lucifer is not his name. Where they bring that out from, I don't know. Maybe Yahweh will bring that to another brother, and they'll find that out for us. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yah. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be the most high. This is when Hillel declared war on Abba Yah. This is when Hillel envied. This is when Hillel saw something, wanted something a little bit more. He envied something else. He wanted to be up there. He already had a grand position in the kingdom. He went and tried to fill out an application, which he couldn't. It came within himself to say, you know what? I'm up here. Like a child looking at their father, saying, you ain't no better than me. Why can't I sit beside you? How better than me? the thought behind Hillel. I'm just as good. Started looking at himself. And as a father, you took that as a challenge. Challenging me. You think you on my level? I want to jump to next week, but we're going to get there. You think you on my level? You imagine that, your child, believing that they on your level? Point of reference, something that you can see? Your child believe that they on your level? They're not even full grown yet. An adult at 18 years old yet, but they believe that they on your level. Puberty. Heading puberty. Because we know Abba Yah is much older than Hillel. He's the creator. But in his mind, I'm on your level too. So let's listen. Let's go finish going through the story. Let's go to Yeshua's calf, Ezekiel 28. I'm going to try to just read, family. 28:11 through 17, for those who follow me right now. Remember the first one, Lucifer, Hillel, got in his mind that he belong up there with the Most High. He belongs sitting where they sit, where he's sitting at. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. As the parents would say, yo, you smelling yourself. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, thou fillest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Yah, and every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the barley, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets, and thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. That's the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of Yah. Thou walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. In other words, Hillel led the angels in worship to the Most High. He led the angels in worship to the Most High. He was music. He was not what you see today as a music or choir director. In Hebrew, we will call that the cantor, right? The what would be the choir director, the praise and worship director. This was his job. One of the most grandest jobs that you can have. Reality or religion or however you want to see it. Being the one to lead everybody into worship. No little job. That's not nothing that we get. That ain't nothing to say. You are leading everybody into worship, throne of the Most High. Leading that. Throne of the Most High. But it wasn't enough for him. He, let's finish. I just said I won't go and try to talk too much. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of Yah, and I will destroy thee, covering cherub. He was a cherubim. No regular angel. He was a cherubim. that's over top of the ark, the one that Abba said he would set sit in front of the garden so Adam and Eve or Korah couldn't get back in? Big wings? Oh, covering church, from the midst of the stones of fire, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou was corrupted, has corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. We're not going to finish that. We're going to stop right there. We're trying to get a glimpse of this being. So today, pictures of Hillel, always go see the most hideous thing that you can think of. Why is that? The scriptures don't describe him as being hideous, some monster. Describe him as the most beautiful. Describe him as hideous. Put in mankind mindset. But no, I can't go there. It's hard to try to turn off the spirit of Yah when he's connecting things for you. So, but I'm going to try my best to stay on point. But I am going to say this. When Yahushua, it said just the opposite. It said he wasn't going to be beautiful. It said he wasn't going to be something nice to look at. But look at the world. How the world present these two figures? Total opposite. In Revelations 18:4, come out of her, my people. We still coming out because we still learning. We still seeing. We still walking. Still on that straight and narrow road, so he's still feeding us. He's still got to abide by his own word. Not to feed us as long as we're hungry and thirsty for his word. He got to show us. That's his word. He won't go against his own word. But think about that one. They present Hillel as this most hideous thing, but he's not. Scripture says he is beautiful. Think of any instrument on the face of the planet. Got his hands in it. It's he is the musician of musicians. It's no wonder that musicians are looked at in the world as the most prominent. Musicians are. I looked at in this world as the most prominent, more than basketball players, football players, any other range of entertainment. As the most prominent in this world. Now we know why. Because all of them falls under the banner of Hillel. Unless Abba has moved on it. But everybody else that's not under the banner of Abba Yah falls under of Hillel, and you'll be able to tell by the music that they sing, rap, whatever you want, whatever genre you want to talk about, because he wasn't just a musician as far as pipes in him. He probably could sing too. He was leading the angels. Oh, shit. He walked up and down on the pole, building a picture of this entity. Show us how serious this thing is. What do about it? We talking about war. We're talking about one of his children declared war. Me and the brothers talking. He brought out a great point today. He said if you go and look at the story of David, and Absalom, that tells you the story of Hillel and Abba Yah. Absalom envied what his father had. Envied what his father had. Hillel envied what his father had. that's why we shouldn't envy one another. We shouldn't envy no one, period. But again, we're working on ourselves, right? Because we started off last week, week before last, looking at ourselves. Then Abba followed it up with a great meal to look at ourselves. Because we rebuilt the thought. And this was, this is not the climax, right? But if you go back and start from the beginning about the art of war, because this is what it's all about. In the midst of war. May not be as much physically, but it's sure enough spiritually. Since the day we were born, we were in war, spiritually. Revelation 12. We're going to go to 12, chapter 12, 7 through 12. Could read the whole thing, but I'm not, I don't do that. Oh, he gave me a good thought about this. Ooh, he showed me some things with this one right here. The whole chapter 12 and how it connect with another chapter. Oh, he showed me. We talk about this. I'm going to call my brother and talk about this one. Revelation 12. And there was war. I'm praying that we are using our ruach. And we are using our spirit, our imagination, and we are seeing everything that happens. Because we can do it. If you allow the Ruach, it would take you back thousands of years as if you was there. As if you was there. I tell you what. If you believe, you are there. Wow, how you gonna say that, Brother Sean? How you gonna say that? Because the spirit of Yahweh, sure, the spirit of Yahweh, it was there. Have that spirit within you. You can be there also. The spirit was there. Same spirit that is the same yesterday, today, and forever resides in you. You also can be there. Down on the distractions. Come Shabbat time, and we yield to this day and what he has for us, we can get there. We can see the whole thing. The puzzle will come together for you perfectly. Go back. Allow trouble, walking up and down on the fire, leading the angels into prayer and worship. In fact, we did read, I believe it was in Ezekiel, that he had stones all over his chest. He was jeweled out. Right? He had bling in him. He was made of bling. Pipes coming out of him. He was beautiful. But in his mind, he wanted to raise his throne up a little higher. So this is the result of him raising his throne up a little bit, or trying, or even thinking to raise his throne up. And there was war in heaven. And Mikael, his angel, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And his angels was cast out with him. All this taking place before there was mankind. We want to keep this in the forefront of our minds, especially if you're new to this channel and you're just listening. All what we just read in Isaiah and Ezekiel took place before mankind, before there was a man made on the planet. We don't even know if there was a planet yet, but we do know that all this took place before mankind. So when you get back here in Revelation and you're reading that there was war, this war took place way back before the mankind was put on earth. So we want to keep everything in context. We want to keep it right in place because we are following a story. Great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Why? Because eventually, after he got his mindset, said, if you ain't going to get to me, take over. Abba even wanted to fight. I don't know if he wanted to fight or not. He didn't have to fight. Another angel stepped in his warriors fought against Satan and all that he had on his team, and this was what was going on, and he kicked them out of heaven into earth, and his angels was cast out with them. And they heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our mighty one and the power of his Mashiach. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our mighty one day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short. Now, if you just follow that, because whoever this mighty angel said, whoa, was he talking to the inhabitants of the earth at that time? Was he talking to them about the accuser of the brethren? He wasn't. We're seeing this where all this is taking place at. A lot of time when we read Revelation, we pile it all together and we bring it all the way down to the earth as it's just happening right now. But let's read it. That's here. Tell you this whole chapter. I will show me earlier where it's taking place at and everything that goes on with it. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our mighty one and the power of his Mashiach. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our Elohim day and night. All right, I hear Daniel in my ears. I hear him. I hear you, Daniel. I know I can't say too much because somebody might not understand it. Woo! I got to say this one. I'm going to read this part again. This part one more time. And the power of his Mashiach. One might ask a question. Well, hold up now. How are you talking about the Mashiach, the power of his Mashiach? Mashiach wasn't even, at that point, if he's talking about the heavens, the Mashiach wasn't even thought about this. You know, you might got some Hebrew Israelites or some Bible thumpers out there who may have that question run past their mind. But if you go into your canon says when he came, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of Yah before the foundation of the earth. forgive me, family. I'm just going to read the word, and I'm going to call my brother. We'll be able to talk. And if you want to call me afterwards, call me. We can talk. If you have any questions, again, 3 questions, we'll be able to talk about it. But listen to it. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, and for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Stopping at 12. That's where I'm stopping at in Revelation. Now, Hallel is on the earth. He is angry with mankind because he got kicked out of the heavens. But remember, we got to go back that he initiated a challenge to the Father. He declared war on the Father. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to raise his throne up. So now he kicked out. So let's go to Bereshit. Let's go in the beginning. Bereshit in the beginning, right? Not Yochanan in the beginning when he says in John 1:1, because we know that is another beginning. That is another Bereshit in John 1:1. We're talking about the beginning of mankind now. Now there's another element pulled into play, right? What we just say about last week, a week before last, what was last week about? Ourselves, right? There's another element pulled into play, scheme of things of this war. Now you have another element pulled in, which is man. So we're going to Bereshit. We didn't read this many times. 3. We're going to read 1-15 because we got the picture. Old picture. Allah wanted to raise his throne. Kicked him out of there. Now he got kicked down to the earth, and he is mad. He's mad. He's on a prowl. He didn't already brought darkness to the kingdom. He didn't already brought disruption and holiness into the earth. He brought disruption and holiness. And remind me to ask a question that I asked earlier today. If I hang up or start saying goodbye without asking this question, it's just a trivia question, just something for us to think about. Now the serpent, who is the serpent? We already didn't lay down some things for those who may not know. That old devil, we just read in Revelation, that old serpent, the devil. We read in Ezekiel where he was in the garden, right? He was actually a serpent, but Satan was moving on him. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have Yah said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for Elohim do know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walk in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid my foot. Who told thee that thou was naked? And he hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not that thou commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me, with me, she gave me. And I did eat. Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, What is it this that thou hast done? The woman said, Hey, no, she didn't say hey. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, a curse above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thou his, and thou shalt bruise his. Allow this. Was to seize the women. Now, this is not the question. Deception strategy. Which one was it? And we're not going to answer that question this week. Was this act right here deception or strategy? Grand scheme of things. Now mankind have entered into the war between Yahweh and his son, Elohim, another entity has entered into the war, which is man. Now we're in the war. Is this deception or strategy? And whose deception strategy? For this part, family, and that is embarrassing size. 1 through 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that Yah created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name when they were created. It was only one man, male and female, but there was only one. So again, what we talked about is about this one self, is about ourselves, is about looking at it in that mirror and seeing ourselves, understanding what we are a part of. We are that third link in this war. Two again, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. One being. And Adam lived 130 years and begat sons in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Something just happened. Because if we go back and we're following the story is Yahweh created man in his image, in his likeness. Because of deception, strategy, war. Now when Adam come to know Kawa, his wife, and they bring about a child, it is in his image. It is no longer in the image of Abba Yah or Yahweh. Took place. Something changed. that installment. But if we follow in the story, we'll follow it. Allah is angry. And he is kicked down now to wreak havoc on mankind. And overthrow in the kingdom. Was allowed to go down. Against somebody that's a little lesser than the angels. It's a story. I've been building a story for us. I hope we're following it because he accepted that challenge. But we ain't going to get there yet. I got to keep my mouth shut. I can hear the brother down. You can't keep your mouth shut. Oh, but one more scripture, family. We out of here. We got one more scripture, and that is in Ephesians. Because now, from this moment on, everything is made in Adam's likeness. No longer is mankind made in the image of Abba Yah. Now we are made. That's some understanding right there too. Right? That is hard because you hear so many across the world say that all day long. We are made in God's image and likeness. Yes, we are. Yes. Scripture says that. Scripture supports that. But something happened to mankind. Happened. Because, you know, before the fall of Adam, so why did you let him fall, Abba? Why did you let him fall? They was perfect. You had another perfect being, just like you said Hallel was. Hallel was perfect. Why did you let these fall? Was given to them. Somebody declared war on them. All right, fam, we're going to Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians 6:14, and we out of here after this. 6:14. We did read this a minute times. 6:12, I'm sorry. 6:12. 6:12, family. For we wrestle, but I want to keep the thought. I want to keep it in context. I want to keep, we building on this. At this time, mankind is no longer in the image of Yah, in the image of God, in the sense of a perfect, right? It's like he didn't want a perfect being he wanted it, but he allowed his being to be touched for a reason. We're not getting there. I'm just dropping little breadcrumbs. So when Abba do put it all together, we see it. And most of y'all with the Spirit probably already know which way you're going. Spirit probably already working on you, and you're probably already allowing it to run you through these scriptures. Then, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, against powers, against rulers, against darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. Remember, we're in war, we're at war. And what we've been reading in the Art of War and what we have read in many times in the scripture, that there are positions of leadership in this war. And Hallel has positions of leadership under him in this war. And these are those that we just named. But against principalities, right? If it's arcane. We look that word up, is in your Greek concordance, G749. It's called arcane. Arcane. Properly abstract, a commencement, or concretely, a chief. This is one. We don't just wrestle against Hallel. There are chiefs in his war, in his army, being set up all over the world. What Revelation says. Down a third of the angels. We read that, but you go into Revelation 12:4, and it tell you about that dragon, and with his tail, he pulled a third of the angels down. And he just, in the sense that he pulled them down, they got kicked out with him. Down into 7, when it talks about the war, Revelation 12:7. That him and his, but they didn't just come down here disorganized. Already in an organized thing in the heavens. So they kept their ranks as they came down here. It did not disperse. Did not disperse. Even in Hillel's world, there is order. Look at it like this. Organized chaos. But there's order, even in this world. Why? Because where's knowledge come from? You think if you're going to go fight your dad and you've been around your dad all these years, you only know what your dad knows or what he told you or what he taught you? In this case, he can't go learn from nobody else. Have to take the wisdom that he already have been given by Abba Yah to come down here. And who is his folk? We are. That third part in the war. We are. We is his folk. Against powers. And that is exousia. In your strong concordance. Greek Concordance 1849, in the sense of ability, privilege, i.e., subjectively, force, capability, right? A force. Come on, power. A force. These are levels that we fight against, Reverend Paul just showed us that we wrestle not, or in other words, that we war not against principalities, against powers and rulers, darkness, this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's not only in the spiritual, it's also in the physical. Dr. Gershman Daniel teaching us this. You want to know how powerful a country is? See how powerful a country is? That'll tell you how powerful the angel is that's on him. That he's running that. And he pulled that out of, I believe that was Daniel. How when Daniel prayed and the prince of Tyre came and stopped that angel for bringing Daniel that prayer. So that allows us to see that all these different nations motivated angel, a fallen angel at that, and demons. And that's where Abba Yah have set his people smack dead in the middle. What Rabbi Yaakov brought out a couple years back, that there's 200 plus sovereign nations on this planet, and not now one of them is ruled by the Torah. So if they're not ruled by the Torah, who is ruling them? What is ruling them? Giving them man. Who is leading them? If we take the example out of Daniel, where Abba Yah said Israel, right in the middle, will be right in the middle of all their darkness. He gave us that example in the book of Exodus, in the book of Shemot. Go down, Bereshit, I believe, told old Israel, old Yaakov, go ahead down in Egypt. We know, as believers, Egypt points to this world system. Said, there, I'm going to make you a great nation. And when they went down there, what happened? They became slaves. the nation that's supposed to represent the Most High became slaves within the world system. See the man, you know that. But he was showing us something. He was even breadcrumbed. That's the end of it, Samuel. I don't want to keep talking because I'll start talking about next week and everything going into the lesson for next week that I got to sit down and I'll be out and put it all together. But, why did you allow Adam and Kawhi to be brought low, even lower than that? Because there was a challenge put to it. The challenge put to Abba Yah. Here's the question, though, family, that came to my mind earlier. And do with it as Abba Yah will do with it. Me and Brother Harvard, we got a chance to talk about it. And hopefully we all get a chance to talk about it. The question was, the evil that Abba Yah, and the lesson is over. The lesson over. So this is just a bonus question for those who want to sit up on a Shabbat and allow that spirit to run through his word. The evil that Abba Yah said, because Abba Yah said that he created the evil and the good. And the question that came to me earlier as I was in my meditation, is halal evil that Abba Yah said he created, or was he a victim of the evil that Abba Yah said he created? And we got a chance to talk about it, and Brother Harwell gave me his thoughts, and he brought some things out, and we was able to talk. But again, the evil that Abba Yah said he created, is halal that evil, Satan, or is he a victim of it? Let that sit in your rock tonight, or whenever you want to sit and study and ask an Abba Yah about it, or he'll take you through the word. Because I almost told the answer. Let me get to the benediction. And that is the end of tonight's blog talk. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah once again for opening up your Shabbat door, Father. Thank you for the meal that you have prepared for us, Father. Father, may we be as the cows, Father, that we take it through up and down. We regurgitate it. We bring it back to mind, Father, and we take it down again. We bring it back up, Father, four times as the cow has four stomachs, Father, that we become and get the nourishment of it that you desire that we have. For each individual, Father, whatever they get, Father, you know what you want them to get out of your word, Father, not the Marines, you know, Father. They just puppets for you, Father, Yah. We thank you for that, Father. We ask and pray again for all those who are ailing in Israel, Father, that you cover them, Father, that you comfort them, Father, and that you continue to bring them to your holy mountain, Father, that they continue to share this world off of them and continue to stay on that straight and narrow path that your son's footsteps that we follow, Father. Abba Yah, in your holy and precious son name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom.